Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Have a celebration, bake your cookies and cook your stuff. But here's the thing, I'm doing this in honor of the great thing that happened 2,000 years ago. We're celebrating the everlasting life that was accomplished by the incarnation, right? Wouldn't have happened. Life, death, burial, resurrection of Christ would not have happened without the incarnation. So we celebrate that by doing it before the Lord and to the Lord, and that means we're thankful through the process. Let that be the punctuated reality of your Christmas celebration.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Quit sinning. There you go. We got that all cleaned up. Problem solved. Let's move on. This is Wretched Radio. Oh, if it were just that simple. The process of sanctification. It is a lifelong synergistic effort between the Holy Spirit and you. That's right. You get the power from the Holy Spirit, so he gets all the credit. But you got to work at it. You don't get credit when it comes to your salvation for being obedient, but it does take work. We are to war against sin. You and I are to strive for holiness. We're to mortify evil things. And perhaps you've heard that message a lot. Stop sinning. Knock it off. Quit doing that. Maybe those were your parents' favorite words. Hey, don't make me tell you again. Knock it off over there. And you heard a lot of Ephesians 4:23. You say, what's Ephesians 4:23? It is the command to put off. Stop it. Don't do that anymore. You have been bought. You have been purchased. You are seen as holy. Why? Because your salvation is outside of yourself. It is secure, it is safe in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, who is currently sitting on a throne and reigning. That is certain. And now you need to begin acting the way that you are seen. That is in part what sanctification is. It's working out your salvation. It's working it. And it starts with stopping. You just got to knock it off. Stop doing it. But Ephesians 4:24 informs us that ain't enough. Not only are we to stop, we're commanded to start. 4:23, put off. Ephesians 4:24, put on. That's the put off, put on principle of biblical counseling. You stop and you start. Both of these components are needed. If you are going to grow in holiness, you need to stop and start. And by the way, if I could do an excursus on sanctification, I can't recall who I was reading, but these days you don't have to give credit to anybody anyway. Plagiarism just ain't no big whoop anymore. But it was a rather off-the-cuff comment about sanctification. It isn't just about becoming holy. It's about becoming whole. It is not just about not sinning, just doing the right thing. That's a massive part of sanctification. But it is also you becoming whole. In other words, all of the things that make you unhappy, that cause you to have regrets, that make you feel like you're a second-class citizen in the kingdom of God, those things, we need to work on those things too. You need to work on those things. You need to understand that sanctification, yeah, it is about our behavior, but it's also about our being. God wants you to be fully human, and that's experiencing the abundant life. That is having shalom. That is when things are well with your soul, no matter what is going on. So I think we would do well to remember in sanctification, it's not just about being holy. It is also about being whole. But I'm not going to go back. Pastor, the people that you're looking at on Sunday morning, they're not whole. None of us ultimately are on this side of the veil. But their sanctification, it is lacking wholeness. We have a tendency to focus on being holy, and that is right. That is a part of sanctification. But being whole is another. how can your message help them become more whole? How can your message help them realize, oh, wow, my salvation, it's secure in Christ. Yep, the kids are doing this. Yep, my spouse did that. Oof, the career trajectory I'm on, it ain't what I want it to be, but I'm whole. It is good because all of the aspects of my life are that matter are in place. The things that matter are in place. And incidentally, if you're an individual who is hearing this and going, oh, I've been overlooking that. In fact, right now I'm feeling spiritually malnourished. Had a chance to preach on this Sunday, talking about Jesus, the bread from heaven. If you're not spiritually strong at the moment, here's your part of the deal. You need to consume more bread. Not the stuff you get served at the table. You might want to cut back on that. The carbs are crazy in bread. I'm talking about Jesus. You need to consume Jesus. If you want to become more whole, that is the solution. It is imbibing, breathing the air of Jesus Christ, consuming him. How do you do that? How do you consume that heavenly bread? Jesus tells us, Matthew chapter 4, you can't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. In other words, you need to consume the word. If you're lacking in wholeness, you're hurting, you're still scarred, maybe you're still working on that root of bitterness, regrets, you have a few and that you'd rather not mention. How do you get past that? What about the sins that you committed that you still just feel, well, dirty from? Well, first of all, you need to know you're not dirty anymore, but you need to consume heavenly bread. You need to dwell on things that are pure, lovely, and worthy of praise. You need to stare at Jesus with unveiled face. You will then be transformed from one level of glory to another. You need to change your diet. And there's so many ways that you can do that. But sometimes it takes a commitment. Your spiritual wholeness, it all revolves around the word, consuming heavenly bread, studying Jesus. And I know what you're maybe thinking, I'm not in the mood for that kind of bread. I struggle to consume that kind of bread. Well, here's what you need to do. This is very complicated. Eat that bread. You say, but I'm telling you, I don't feel like it. And I'm telling you, you'll feel like it when you start doing it. That's how it works. If you're not excited about reading your Bible, start reading your Bible. You'll grow in your excitement. You say, church, ooh, all of those people. Start going to church. You'll start loving those people. But you got to change your diet, which means you need to start with changing your mind, perhaps, about some things. You have to believe that what will make you whole is being obedient to the prescription that your good physician has written for you. You got to consume the word. You've got to consume the word. You just got to, this is, okay, overused illustration. You got a headache. You tell somebody you got it. No, better yet, I meet you and I say, I've got a headache. And you say, you need to take a couple of Tylenol. I don't like swallowing Tylenol. Well, you want to get over your headache? Yeah, but I just don't like Tylenol. Well, you need to take Tylenol to get over your headache. Take it and you'll get over it. But I don't feel like it. What would you think? You would say, hey, knucklehead, this is the cure. And that is the cure that you need to believe will make you more whole. Consuming bread from heaven as revealed in his word. And that means reading your Bible. That means going to church. That means being immersed in your church. That means making your best friends the people that you spend 90 minutes with on Sunday morning, unless, of course, you're Lutheran, then 40 minutes. That's the environment that we need for wholeness, fellowship, consuming the word, consuming actual physical bread, a tactile experience of the gospel. We need to consume more Jesus, and we will be increasingly whole, because that is a big aspect that is often missing from sanctification. But we return now to the part of sanctification that most of us are probably most familiar with. Getting holier, getting better, doing better. All right, how do you do that? Well, it starts with put off. You do need to stop, but that isn't the totality of sanctification. You need to start doing other things. Dr. Greg Gifford, man, I'm telling you, this guy's hitting it out of the park, his Transform podcast, talking about the subject of putting off, putting on, and the whole in your holiness, which is a really good Kevin DeYoung book, by the way. You got a hole in your holiness. You can't seem to be getting better. You can't curb that tongue. You can't keep that anger from bubbling out. And you try. I've been trying to stop it. Okay, that's good. don't hear that. You need to overlook that. You do need to stop. But that is not the full formula. For full potency in becoming more holy, you need to replace the things that you were doing that were wrong with the things that are right, which is why, despite the fact that I know sometimes some people perhaps get agitated with me, we're going to listen to Greg Gifford's presentation on this subject of putting off and putting on, and I'm telling you, it's going to help you. Next on Wretched Radio.
Breaking news. In a world where biblical truth is increasingly rare, Fortis Institute is actually expanding. We're expanding our reach every single month. And get this, churches are actually getting stronger through solid biblical teaching. And here's the story. Your gift gets doubled right now through a matching grant. That means twice the impact, twice the reach, twice the transformation. Think more resources, more teaching, more churches equipped with truth that matters. We're not just maintaining around here. We're growing. More radio stations, more content, more believers getting equipped, more churches being strengthened. And unlike those clickbait headlines the world tries to feed us, this is actual verifiable impact. The fine print? Just one thing. The matching grant opportunity ends December the 31st. That's it. No complicated conditions, just a straightforward chance to double your impact. Visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Because while everybody else is backing down, we're stepping up. FortisInstitute.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know what keeps us up at night? It's watching our culture spread away from biblical truth like it's running a marathon in the wrong direction. But here's the thing. While others might be tiptoeing around tough issues, we're digging our heels in and standing firm. That's kind of our thing at Fortis Institute. And right now, this very moment, something incredible is happening. A generous friend of the ministry looked at what we're doing and said, hey, let's pour some rocket fuel on this. They're matching every single gift through December the 31st, up to $500,000. Think about that. Your gift doesn't just support bold biblical teaching. It literally doubles in impact. Listen, I'm not just talking about keeping the lights on. I'm talking about equipping believers, strengthening local churches, and being that clear voice of truth in a world that desperately needs it. So if you want to make your year-end giving count twice, just visit FortisInstitute.org. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 1549. Archbishop Thomas Cranmer produces the Book of Common Prayer for the Church of England. Henry VIII created the Anglican Church as a mirror of the Catholic Church, but the Book of Common Prayer helped to mold the Church of England into a Protestant church.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Maybe new math isn't so bad. After all, this is Wretched Radio. New math. Numbers. Schmumbers. You can arrive at different answers, and everybody's right in math these days. Oh, that were true for Bible verses. I was saying Ephesians 4:23. Okay, fine. It's Ephesians 4:22. Missed it by this much. What is Ephesians 4:22? Put off. Stop doing stuff. Put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Then it's verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Then verse 24, and put on the new man. That is the formula for sanctification, not just in mortifying sin, but in becoming whole. Not just holy, but also whole. Dr. Greg Gifford, in his magnificent Transform podcast, this is just too fine to not share in totality. This is just one segment. If you're not listening to Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, this is what you're going to be missing. He's talking about sanctification, not just putting off, but also putting on, which is exactly where verse 25, if you believe in numbers, verse 25 of Ephesians 4 begins. Take it away, Dr. Gifford.
All right, therefore, put away falsehood and speak the truth with your neighbor. Put away falsehood, speak the truth. What are you called to put off here? Falsehood. And what are you called to put on? Speaking the truth. So if you're struggling with being a person who lies or speaks falsehood or twists the truth, then I want you to see that you have a specific put on. The put on is not to take a vow of silence. The put on is not to, in some way, go for a long walk, come back, and never talk to anybody again. You're a monk now, or a monkess, whatever the female version of a monk is. When you are struggling with lying, you actually need to put off lying and put on speaking the truth. Another example, verse 26, be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. Put off unrighteous anger. If you're a person who struggles with being angry in a sinful way, you're called to put it off. And what are you to put on? You are to put on righteous anger. So what's the put on and put off? You're seeing it right here in the scripture. Again, let the thief no longer steal, verse 28. Put off stealing. It's not enough to just stop stealing, by the way. Maybe you're in jail and there's nothing to steal at this point. What are you called to actually do? Well, you repent of stealing and you put on hard work, honest work. That's verse 28. So what's the point? There are prescribed put-ons here. Falsehood, anger, stealing, corrupting communication, all of those have a counter to it. One of my mentors, and I have the privilege of calling him a friend, his name is Dr. Ernie Baker. He said that typically a put on is the opposite of whatever the put off is. So let's try to work through just a couple of examples that are not found here in the text. So when you repent of something and you put it off, don't just stop there. Actually put on steps of obedience. So if you're struggling with complaining, what might the put on be? Think about that for a second. If you're struggling with complaining, what might the put on be? Okay, I repent of complaining, Philippians 2, grumbling and complaining are sinful. I repent of it, I put it off. What should I put on? Thankfulness, gratitude. Actually say, Lord, please forgive me for grumbling in my heart today. Thank you for the provisions that you've offered to me, or thank you for the ways that I've seen you work in my life. I am truly grateful, and I'm sorry to have not seen that. Give thanks in all circumstances. So if you're struggling with grumbling and complaining, and some of you work in awful work environments, and I don't want to minimize the temptation that you might have to complaining, what has God called you to do to put that off and to put on gratitude? So instead of complaining about your boss and how lame they are, say, Lord, thank you for my boss. You are using them. They have certain gifts that are actually helpful to our organization. Thank you. May you be honored in the way I think about my boss. In Jesus' name, amen. Boom, done. And you've just done the process of change. I also want to give you things like drinking. So if we used the actions of your life, think of drinking as an example of actions. Okay, so we would say, all right, you want to put off drinking. So if you're going to stop drinking, then what are you actually going to start doing? Well, instead of using that time at the bar, I'm going to serve at my local church. Okay, instead of buying that six pack and bringing it home, I'm now actually going to bring groceries to someone else and put on serving other people. So instead of just saying stop drinking and you're sitting in the bar and you're going, I'm so thirsty, you would start to actually put on actions that honor the Lord. So when you start to think this way, guys, what happens is it, no pun intended, it transforms your life. Because you say, I must put off actions that are dishonoring to the Lord and put on actions that are honoring to the Lord. If I'm struggling with anxious thoughts, then what do I need to put on? If you tell me, and this is maybe just a Greg thing, if you tell me, hey, Dr. Gifford, stop being anxious, that is not helpful. I'm never like, oh, wow, never thought of that one. Thank you. I'm like, I know I should stop being anxious. And how do I do that? I have to put on thoughts about the sovereignty of God or the goodness of God or his wisdom. Put off anxious thoughts and put on thoughts about God's bigness and God's goodness in your life. Number one, repent of something and put on steps of obedience to the Lord. Number two, make your specific steps concrete or measurable. Don't make them generic. Remember I said last episode that sometimes what happens is we will repent in very generic ways. Lord, help me not to be so prideful, which is true. Everyone should pray that prayer, but what is the specific manifestation of your pride? Lord, I think I'm better than so-and-so, and that's why they annoy me so much. I see them as being dumb. Okay, now what are we called to put on? Help me to think more highly of so-and-so as an image bearer, not as a nuisance in my life. You have created them, they have gifts, and they are perfect in your sight. That's something to renew your mind with. But if you just stay at the generic level of, I need to put off pride and put on love, then I actually think you're not going to change in any meaningful way. You see, we don't change in abstract land. We don't change in fuzzy land, Dr. Street would say. We change with concrete examples and concrete steps. And I find the more concrete you can make your put-ons, the more helpful they are to you. The more concrete and specific, the more measurable, the more actionable they are. So when you do that, have a concrete step. Lord, I am tempted to be anxious right now about my finances. Help me to trust you with my finances. I know you are the one that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Help me to trust that you will provide for me as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, think of this, parents. This is something that I encourage you to incorporate into your parenting style. Some of us have a very unilateral, one-dimensional parenting style with our kids. Stop yelling at your brother. Stop touching that. And we often tell our kids what not to do, but we don't often give them a practical what you should do. So if your child is wrestling with a disrespectful heart, what are some put-ons you can encourage them to take? If your child is wrestling with a selfish heart, what are ways you can help them put on serving other people? And explain exactly what you're doing. Hey, you need to put off that attitude and you need to put on an attitude like this. This is what the Bible calls us to do. And that doesn't mean that they have miraculously been changed, but they're at least learning that when they are struggling and sinning against the Lord, that they can change and that there are practical things to pursue when so doing. So in my house, and my boys can ratify this, if they get too mean with each other, one of the things that I say is, all right, boys, I want you to give me three things that you're thankful for about the other person. And they're like, oh, no. And that's important because what it does is instead of just saying, hey, stop making fun of each other, I'm saying, hey, I want you to give thanks for the other person now. So go ahead. Three things. What you got? So what have I said so far? Number one, when you repent of something, don't just stop there. Put on steps of obedience. Number two, make those steps concrete and specific. Number three, teach your kids to do the same. Help them to learn how to put on certain steps. Okay, number four, when you do this long enough, this just simply becomes who you are, which is why I am leaving Be Renewed for last. I actually think that you put off and put on long enough that the put on is just your response now. That God has actually changed you and he's used your spirit-filled obedience to help do that. So you are renewed. You're not as anxious. You're not struggling with grumbling as much. You're not struggling with anger as much. Why? Because you have put on the steps in the scripture that call you to obeying the Lord. So do this and watch how the struggle of the put-offs actually diminish and lessen.
Told you that was fine. Dr. Greg Gifford, Transform Podcast. He will help you grow in holiness. You'll find it Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you do that podcasting business. Put off, but don't forget to put on. And you will grow in holiness. This is Wretched Radio.